Welcome to the Playmakers Talk Show, where business owners, professionals, and entrepreneurs gather to discover playmaking ideas from world-famous CEOs, entrepreneurs, and business celebrities. You'll hear inspiring stories, playmaking ideas, and that one big thing that launched them on toward success. Get ready for the Playmakers Talk Show. Our host is Steve Klein, a renowned business author, keynote speaker, and master at helping clients reach peak performance through success skills, leadership, sales, and behavior change. He's helped generate quantum leaps for hundreds of companies. Now it's time to meet this week's Playmakers. Here's your host, Steve Klein.
We have an exciting show today on Playmakers Talk Show. I'm Steve Klein. In the studio today is a CEO of a PR and marketing company, while our second Playmaker is a CEO of Senior Communities. With us today is the owner not only of a public relations firm, but who also is a serial entrepreneur that loves to put good people together, while our other guest is a CEO in the senior living industry. These great Playmakers are Jeffrey Yarbrough. He is the CEO of Big Inc. PR, and Michael Ellentuck. He is the CEO of the Legacy Senior Communities, and we'll begin today's show with Michael. Michael Ellentuck is the president and CEO of the Legacy Senior Communities. He just celebrated his 13-year anniversary there and spent nearly 40 years working in the senior living industry. Michael's responsible for the management of the operations of the Legacy Willow Bend, a state-of-the-art life care retirement community in Plano, the Legacy Preston Hollow, a senior living residence focused primarily on skilled nursing, assisted living, and rehab, Legacy at Home Health Services, a home health care agency serving seniors in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex, and I guess it's ECHAD, which is Elderly Communal Housing at Dallas, which is senior housing. Michael's an expert when it comes to understanding the fast-paced, ever-changing healthcare environment. He's acted as a consultant over the design and development of 15 senior living communities in North America. Michael, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you.
Glad to have you here. Well, everything I was reading about was about the senior living industry. How did you get into the business?
A question asked of me quite a bit, and I kind of look back, and I think it goes back to my early childhood. My grandparents, I'm from New York, and my grandparents lived in the South Bronx, and I think every summer my parents would ship me to my grandparents so they could get a little break. And they lived in a six-story high-rise in the South Bronx, and I used to sleep on an army cot in my grandparents' bedroom, and the building was full of older people, and I just think I was comfortable, and the memories were wonderful of growing up in that environment and having all these bubbies and zetas around me to take care of me. And I think it just stuck with me when I went back to school after being in the service, got into healthcare, and then got offered a graduate degree and financial aid, and I just felt natural.
It's amazing what happens to us when we're younger. I think we were talking a little about that before, that kind of molds and guides us as we get older. But we were talking before the show, and you've traversed the country a little bit, and you spent a lot of time in San Diego. Now, were you in the senior living industry there?
Yeah, I was president CEO of a company called Seacrest Village Retirement Communities.
So did Legacy pull you here to Dallas, or did you come on your own?
They pulled me here. I actually started my career with this organization 1974 to 76, and met my wife here, and our kids and grandkids live here, so it was an opportunity to come back to the company I started with to expand and build and create a new vision for the organization and watch my grandkids grow up. So it was just the perfect situation.
So you started, left, and came back and continued pulling it together.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if I understand correctly, you're also going to be expanding soon. Is that correct? You're looking for some land in Dallas.
Yes, we've just gone through a strategic planning process, and we have our eyes on a couple pieces of property in Dallas to build another continuing care retirement community.
Well, you said you started in 74, but correct me if I'm wrong. Did the community begin about 1958?
Dallas Home for Jewish Age, Golden Acres, was the parent, which is now Legacy Senior Communities. It actually started in 1953, so Saturday night we had our 60-year celebration at the Omni Hotel.
Wow, it's grown and staying with us tremendously. Well, tell us a little about, you have three different communities all focused in a little different area for different
yes.
types of seniors.
Yes.
Let's talk about Legacy Willow Bend, which is in Plano. That's more on life care. Tell us about some of the different areas you have there?
It's a full, what we call, continuing care retirement community. So we have everything from independent living, assisted living, memory care, long-term nursing, and short-term rehabilitation. So as people age, they can move through the continuum without having to relocate, or they can age in place with using our legacy at home services.
Now, looking at your website, the website, by the way, if you would like to check it out, is thelegacywb.org. And I noticed that you have different floor plans. So do the seniors actually purchase? Are they leasing? Are they renting? How does that work?
16 different floor plans in independent living. We have apartment homes and villas. You purchase the right to live in the apartment homes or villas during your lifetime. And then as you move through the continuum, you pay a stabilized monthly service fee. Because people in assisted living or memory and nursing can come in directly from the outside. And not being a life care member, they will pay a higher monthly service fee than our life care members. So there's a benefit to coming in addition to having to use all the beautiful amenities and facilities and services, you get a stabilized monthly fee.
And we were talking again before the show started about the community and the society. Would you say that's one of the big benefits to seniors going in there? They have the people around them that they can be with as friends.
Yeah. I think the nice thing is if you come into independent living, we really get to know you, who you are. And as you move through the continuum, you're not coming in as some stranger and we don't know who you are. You're among friends and family, and your lifestyle, likes and characteristics are continued to be attended to as you move through the system.
What would the average age be at your various properties?
Oh, probably in the mid-80s. People are coming into all kinds of senior housing at a later stage and are staying a much shorter period of time, which is good, because if you can shrink the time between morbidity and morbidity, you're actually providing a better life experience. And with home care services and more use in technology, people are staying home longer.
Well, we were talking again earlier, and it seems like 80 is the new 60. And you still have a lot of active seniors at the age of 80.
Very. We have a lot of people who still work every day who live in our communities. We have about 20 people that have dogs, and we have a doggy park, and they're walking their dogs. And we have an incredible fitness facility that'll rival anything. We have full-time trainers on staff. I mean, yeah, people live an active lifestyle.
Well, with the baby boomers aging, as we were talking about earlier, and you said you're at the cusp of that. I'm a little behind
you. I'm the first year.
Is the senior housing industry going to grow tremendously over the next few years?
It's already really starting to grow. A tremendous amount of venture capital money coming into the – everybody's looking at the age wave. And since I'm the first year, I like to say it's going to be a little while before the wave hits the shore. But everybody's kind of gearing up for it. But I really believe that it's a very young industry. It really didn't start till 1965 when Medicare was passed. That's where the beginning of our long-term care industry as we know it. And I think as we look to the baby boomers and next generations to come, our expectations of how we're going to grow older or not grow old is going to dramatically change the industry and how services and are provided.
We were talking also before we start about how our money is spent toward the end of our lives. Baby boomers especially have to start focusing on and having a large income when they're older, because they're going to have to start supporting themselves in areas like yours, which are not inexpensive. But the question I wanted to ask you is there a lot of competition in the Dallas area, other types of senior living areas?
Yeah, when I came 13 years ago, I was surprised coming from Southern California how few little product there was, if you will, and how unsophisticated it was in terms of other communities I've visited across the country. In the last 5 years, it's been an explosion. It's predominantly from the for-profit part of the business that is just growing. And, you know, we're all concerned that at the pace it's going, we may have a period of overbetting, which isn't good for anybody.
We're going to talk more about that. We're going to talk more about the additional communities that the legacy senior communities have. My name is Steve Klein. We're speaking this segment with Michael Ellentuck. He's a CEO of the Legacy Senior Communities at thelegacywb.org. We're going to take a break. We're coming back. More with Michael right after this.
Imagine being 6 years old and confined to a wheelchair. Imagine being 50 years old with a medical condition that can't be fixed with medication. Now, imagine the same individuals enjoying a special place to ride a horse, go for a swim, or fly down a zip line. No barriers. No one stares at your disability. The no's turn into yeses. Since 1947, Camp Summit has offered a unique program which offers campers a wide variety of traditional camp activities at a facility that allows even a person in a wheelchair to ride a horse or go down a zip line. Your financial gifts help bring the camp experience to those special individuals. Help turn the no's into yeses by donating whatever you can to Camp Summit through a link on the Camp Summit website. Visit campsummittx.org. That's campsummittx.org for more information. Or call 972-484-8900. That's 972-484-8900.
Take a look under your bed. Find stuff under there? What about jobs? No? Now try your basement. There's a pair of overalls that, overall, you're not so into anymore. A perfectly good laptop that hasn't seen your lap in months. And even more stuff. But still no jobs? Well, you really have both. See, stuff is defined as household articles considered as a group. Sometimes this stuff is no longer needed. Wait, no longer needed? That can't be right. Because remember those jobs you were looking for? Those are really needed. And they're the stuff inside your stuff. Even inside that winter coat that moved with you to Phoenix. Our job is to unlock those jobs. And it starts when you donate your stuff to your local Goodwill. Here's how we do it. When you donate to Goodwill, we sell your stuff to provide job training for people right here in your community. So just by teaming up with Goodwill, you help create jobs. And isn't that worth parting with the leftover keytar from your 80s cover band? Goodwill. Donate stuff. Create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
I'm Jill Kumnock, CEO of the Ronald McDonald House of Dallas, which is the house that Love built. Your support helps provide a home away from home for the families of seriously ill or injured children who come to Dallas area hospitals for medical treatment. Your gift, regardless of the amount, supports RMHD families so that they can focus on what really matters, their child's healing. That's why at Ronald McDonald House we say there is strength in numbers and it starts with you. For more information, visit rmhdallas.org.
We have Lars Staberg, General Manager of Lowry's, the Prime Rib, with us. Lars, what's new at Lowry's?
Steve, we want to invite your listeners to the new patio at Lowry's. Chef Matt has created a special patio menu, and we're serving craft beers, wine, and specialty cocktails.
What if I want a Prime Rib dinner?
Of course, the full dinner menu is always available. So join us outside for lunch, dinner, or happy hour from 4:30 to 6:30. Mention you heard us on Playmakers, and Chef Matt will send something special to your party.
Sounds great, Lars. See you on the patio at Lowry's, the Prime Rib.
570 AM, 96.3 FM, HD2. That's where you'll find us. News and information, KLIF.
We're back with the Playmakers Talk Show for business owners and self-employed professionals. Once again, here's Steve Klein.
And welcome back. This is Playmakers Talk Show, speaking with Michael Ellentuck. Michael is the president and CEO of the Legacy Senior Communities, and we spoke about one of his communities, which is Legacy, I guess it was Willow Bend. Well, I'm going to talk about the other ones, but as we were talking at the break, we talked about the community itself. As I mentioned to you, my mother and father both were in a nursing home, and a lot of people see it almost as a negative. It's a place where, as it turned out, my dad went to die, and a lot of people see that. This is the last place you'll go. You're not going to last there much longer. But in talking to you and seeing your website, again, which is thelegacywb.org, this is much, much more than that. It really changes a person's impression once they see that. So what type of community? How is that put together for a senior?
When I joined the organization, we talked about building this, and we have a board of trustees, and I said, if you go forward and decide to build this, you're building it for yourself. You're not building it for some other group of people. And the whole concept is designed around resort-style living. Where would you like to spend the latter part of your years? I wouldn't mind living in a resort with full amenities. And the whole concept of it is based around wellness, around the art of living. So art is incorporated into everything we do, and it's really resort style. We model ourselves after the Ritz-Carlton. We train our staff in customer service based on the Ritz-Carlton model. Our executive chef was the executive chef at Bentree Country Club. We brought him over. So we're really focused on quality living. The people who live there, many of them have been friends for years. 40% of the community of people who come from out of town or out of state to be near their kids and grandkids. So tremendous amount of interaction, bringing families together. Many of our people still work. We have a doggy park. People bring their pets with them. It's a community. It's really resort. Very involved, very engaged. And everything we do is focused around learning and exercise and wellness. So, if you were 40 years old, wouldn't be a bad place to live. You don't have to cook. You don't have to clean. You got a great gym right there. So we're maybe looking at another market in the future.
Why get married?
Exactly.
I'm on your website right now under the tab that says Communities and Services, and I'm looking at I'm looking at the there's a kitchen. I'm looking at a bar. Looking at the restaurant. This is as nice, if not nicer, than the nicest bars, restaurants, and homes in the Dallas area.
Everybody comes in and says, this is nicer than Four Seasons. We really took our time and really put our own resources in to really put in the kind of finishes and the kind of design and built the apartments and the villas to really reflect, really upscale living. We consider ourselves a boutique business. We're not going to be the biggest company. We're not out to serve the masses. We want to be considered among a small boutique, but really provide quality service and quality lifestyle.
So customer service, as you said, you're focused on taking care of your customers like the Ritz-Carlton. Yeah. You're not a profit. You're a nonprofit company. Is that correct?
That's correct.
I mean, I would never have believed it would look this nice for a nonprofit. I'm going to hit your other communities, too. The second one was the Legacy at Preston Hollow. How is that different from the Legacy Willow Bend?
Well, that has just two levels. We have two levels of care there. One is nursing, long-term and short-term rehabilitation, and the other is assisted living. So it's a smaller community that doesn't have memory care. It's more traditional in terms of more designed around the nursing home experience. But what you have to realize today, the average length of stay in a nursing facility is 18 to 24 months.
That long?
That's short compared to what was 5, 10, 15 years not that long ago. So people are coming in really for shorter term rehabilitative services, and then hopefully we are successful and they get discharged home. Or if they come in to live permanently, they're coming in later in life and staying a shorter period of time.
Which kind of segues to the next area, which is at home. It's a Legacy at Home Health Services. How do you work with your patients or customers there?
Well, I think the really benefit, as we look to the future, look, everybody would, many people, not everybody, want to stay at home and age in place. It's a natural way. It's not realistic, and there are some drawbacks to it, particularly when you look at social isolation of not being among peers and friends and neighbors. But we discharge 80, 90 people every month from our healthcare centers who go back home, and the ability to have an organization that already knows you, have worked with you, have rehabilitated, to go home and continue those services and maybe even additional services after you're done with your rehabilitation in a seamless transition just made sense to us. And in looking at the future of healthcare and what hospitals, who are our main partners, are expecting of us in terms of the real focuses on recidivism rates back from a nursing home or someone 30 days post-hospital care not going back to the hospital, we bring real benefit to ensuring that people have positive outcomes even beyond the nursing home stay when they go home, so they don't go back to the hospital.
So are you working closely with nursing homes in the area and hospitals? We work to have them come the next stage in your communities.
Yeah, we work very closely with the hospitals and on the healthcare centers with assisted living and retirement communities. And we have a lot of people who, in their home, their children call us or they need just either short-term help, or they want to have companion services on a longer-term basis because they want to continue to stay in their home for a longer period of time.
Well, one other area was on your bio, and that was the elderly communal housing at Dallas. How does that tie in with Legacy?
Well, first of all, everything we do as a not-for-profit, and I'm talking about there's not-for-profit charitable organizations who provide charitable care within their envelope of what they do, and there's not-for-profits who really their focus is not charitable. Everything we do has to have a charitable component to it. That's part of our mission, our value system. HOD was formed in the 80s when there was a large immigration movement out of Russia, when the Jewish community was allowed to leave Russia, and it was built as a place for these people who have nothing, who came with nothing, to be able to live. So it's a HUD-subsidized, low-income community that's there for anybody who needs it. It's a very, very diverse. We have a significant number of Chinese and a Hispanic community and Jewish community. It's a very interesting place. And we have 200 apartments available, and we are responsible for the operation of it.
Is that located in Plano?
It's in East Dallas on the original old Dallas Home for the Jewish Age, DBA Golden Acres campus. When we sold that, we retained those apartments.
We were talking about nonprofit. I also noticed on your website that you do actually look for donations and also for volunteers. What kind of people do you want working with you at your communities?
We have 200 to 300 active volunteers every day, from kids who have to do programs as part of their school work or their church work or their synagogue work, to retired seniors, to all kinds of musicians and who can bring those kinds of special talents to our communities. The interaction, the connection, seniors with younger people is just powerful and very important. And I think the ability to bridge generations and build friendships and a better understanding has just been a wonderful experience. And it's what makes us different. I say, you know, we're very much like a private school or public school. We have a very active PTA. Those are your best schools, where the community is actively engaged. And our community is very actively engaged in all of our communities.
You mentioned that some of your residents have animals that they walk in. There's a dog park. Do people bring their animals in also for your community to play with, to see, to pet, to touch?
Yeah, I have a dog, Oreo, and Oreo's at work with me almost every day of the week. As my wife says, you love that dog more than you love me. And so I say, what's your point? You know, we have a tremendous number of members, we call them members, who have dogs, and we built a doggy park because I'm just as concerned that the dog has a good life experience when they're coming there. I love my dog. So we built the doggy park for them, and we have walkers for those who aren't able to walk their dogs, and we have outside organizations that do pet therapy, particularly going over into our healthcare centers. It's part of who we are. We don't want people to come and change their lifestyle. We want them to have freedom and time to experience the things they couldn't do when they were younger because they were still working, raising their families.
Yeah, everything you talked about with the Legacy Senior Communities sold me. But the nail went into it when you talked about the dogs, and you got me sold right there.
Okay.
Michael, thank you very much for being on Playmakers Talk
Show. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Michael Ellentuck, the president and CEO of the Legacy Senior Communities. You can get all the information about those communities at thelegacywb.org. Stay with us. We're going to talk about hospitality. We're going to talk about PR. We're going to have Jeffrey Yarborough when we come back right after this break. See you then.
The Savage Nation.
I don't think you understand something here. Romney was too good-looking and Mr. Perfect. He was too milquetoast-ish. One thing about Christie is he looks like a real guy. The type of guy that everyone understands. Whether you like him or not politically doesn't matter. People related to the fact that he was a real man.
Weeknights 8 till 11.
People like the guy. I mean, he had to look like a real human being, not robotic.
It's the Savage Nation. Live on News and Information 570 KLIF.
At least two fatalities reported in an unusual November tornado outbreak in the nation's midsection. Officials say the deaths occurred about 50 miles east of St. Louis in Washington County, Illinois. No fewer than 11 counties in that state are reporting damage. Patty Thompson with the State Emergency Management Agency.
The only counties that we have received confirmation of tornado touchdowns from the National Weather Service are Vermilion County, Champaign County, Tazewell, Woodford, and Peoria counties.
50 homes reported destroyed in Washington, Illinois, near Peoria. Around 70 people reported injured and hospitalized. In LaSalle County, freelance photographer Scott Lasker was doing some storm chasing.
I do try to get close to the storms, but got a little closer than I wanted and wound up getting golf balls and sometimes even larger hail.
The severe weather forced a delay in the Bears-Baltimore Ravens game in Chicago. The storm marched into Indiana. Reports of significant damage in the towns of Washington and Lebanon in Indiana. Richard Cantu, ABC News.
Their names are Adrian and Anna, Cameron and Colin, Jacob and Logan, Margaret and Olivia, ages 4 to 12. They are part of a very small, exclusive club that neither they nor their families want to belong. They have all been diagnosed with some form of pediatric cancer. In fact, every year, right here in Dallas-Fort Worth, hundreds of families hear the dreaded words, "Your child has cancer," which is why Wipe Out Kids Cancer was formed over 30 years ago. Our mission is simple: to work relentlessly for the day when all children are living cancer-free. You can help by visiting WOKC.org. We are a local organization helping families cope and supporting researchers to find cures. Learn more at WOKC.org. Help us help them.
Let's get down to it. Do you have an addiction? Any kind? Drinking too much? Drugs? Sex? Whatever it is, there is a way out. A place and people who have been where you are and know they can help. It's Rob Kelly Recovery Group. Whether you or someone close to you needs help, be it an intervention, a sober coach, or a travel coach, the Rob Kelly Recovery Group is there for you. Whether it's long-term, short-term, or hit it full-on with detox, the Rob Kelly Recovery Group is there for all of your addiction recovery needs. Listen to their show every Saturday night from 11 to midnight. Get a clue as to where to start, or just listen to other people with your same addiction. Maybe that's your first step. Feel free to call the Rob Kelly Recovery Group at 214-790-8000 or go online to robkelly.com. That's robkelly.com or call 214-790-8000. Addiction recovery is all they do. Call or go online now.
At the end of a full day, you're looking to get caught up on what went on while you worked hard for the money. At KLIF News and Information 570, we're right there with you. That's why Kirk Gilchrist and the News and Information in the Afternoon team are checking all their resources and contacts every day to make sure we're giving you what you need to stay informed on your way home. News and Information in the Afternoon starts each weekday at 3. No matter when you're heading home in the afternoon, we can fill up that information inbox for you. News and Information 570 KLIF.
We're back with the Playmakers Talk Show for business owners and self-employed professionals. Once again, here's Steve Klein.
And welcome back to Playmakers Talk Show. Our guest this segment is Jeffrey Yarbrough. Jeffrey's years of experience in the hospitality industry combined with his knowledge of media and public relations have warranted Big Inc. PR and marketing recognition as one of Dallas Business Journal's top 25 public relations companies in Dallas-Fort Worth. And Jeffrey is a CEO of Big Inc. PR and marketing. Jeffrey showed interest in running his own business from an early age. Very early, when he was only 5 years old, he picked plums from his grandmother's trees and sold them to neighbors. His first entertainment accomplishment was Concept Nouveau, Dallas's original four clubs in one complex, including Art Bar, Blind Lemon, Club Clearview, and Red. Jeffrey launched Liberty Noodles in 1998, the first pan-Asian noodle house located on Lower Greenville in Dallas. The restaurant received rave reviews, including top 10 best new restaurants in the Dallas Morning News and Tastemaker Award for Best Ad Campaign. In 2004, he took his knowledge of the hospitality industry and opened Big Inc. PR and Marketing, using his experience to help other restaurateurs and business owners reach sweeping success. In 2007, he expanded the company to include commercial real estate services, Big Inc. Real Estate, to support growing restaurant companies serving both restaurateurs and real estate developers. Jeffrey, thank you very much for being with us.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Well, in your bio, you said you help people become rock stars and put butts in their seats. Tell us about that.
I think maybe more technical could be, we'll either help you work on your image or help you work on your revenue. So butts and seats in the restaurant business typically translates to revenue. And when someone wants to be a rock star, we talk about that being part of their image.
Well, you have taken a roundabout way to get where you are. I was reading your bio. You started selling fruit at age 5, went to selling bicycles in your neighborhood to age 11.
Right.
You have a lot of different entrepreneurial aspects to your life. What was the one business that really got you doing what you're doing right now?
Well, I remember my father brought home a bunch of cases of old razors that plugged into a cigarette lighter. And he said one day, he said, gosh, I wish those things were out of the garage. And the next day he came home and said, what happened to all those razors that were in the garage? I said, well, I sold them. You said you wanted them out. So I've always been a salesman and I've always enjoyed it. But the part that I really like the most is making sure that I'm putting someone together with something they either need or want, or putting people together.
It's interesting being in the PR business. It's almost the ultimate sales job in taking a client and selling them.
Right. Well, here's the thing about our business. Big Inc. is based on my experiences in my industry, which is predominantly hospitality. I do not come out of an agency background. So when people come to work at Big Inc., we talk about, you know, we're going to kind of do things differently because I don't know how they do it in agencies. this is the way we know that works for the hospitality guys. So we have different strategies and different ways of doing it. But it's all based on 20 plus years of restaurant, nightclub, and bar success.
Well, it's interesting when I was reading your bio because that your ownership of a PR firm is not the way the most PR firm companies start. You start in the hospitality industry. As a matter of fact, I read one of your books that one of your people gave me on Prohibition. Which I thought was interesting is that fascinates me. If nothing else, I'm sure you've seen Boardwalk Empire
absolutely,
on HBO.
Yeah.
It's just fascinating what was going on in the 20s, and I've always been fascinated.
Well, those
by
were
that.
Some real entrepreneurs back then.
Absolutely, especially with – and I really admired some of the drinks that were found in your book. And the name of that book again was
– Prohibition in Dallas-Fort Worth.
And it can be found where?
It can be found on Amazon all day long, so anywhere on the internet.
So they can find it. By the way, the website – for the PR firm is BigIncPR.com. How did you get in the restaurant industry? Because you were an entrepreneur, you were doing a lot of things, you're a salesperson, and what led you to restaurants?
Well, I was working in New York. I'm a seventh generation Texan, first of all, but I was working in New York for a company called Fairchild on a newspaper called Women's Wear Daily. So I was in the fashion industry. And what I found working for someone else was I was never in control of my own destiny. And they would give me great projects to work on, great experience. But in the end, every decision was their decision. And it wasn't always the vision that I had. And so I decided after having to close down one of our magazines one day and putting 30 people out on the street that this was not the way I wanted to run a business. So I decided I would move back to Dallas and start a restaurant because one of my favorite things to do in my sales career was entertaining people. I love finding the newest places, whether it be a bar or a club or a restaurant or a dive, just something unique and fun to entertain people besides our steakhouses, which we have great steakhouses in Texas. So, but that was the thing. And I said, I want to open a restaurant that is going to be fun.
Which is interesting because New York and Dallas have some of the greatest restaurants between both cities.
Well, Dallas, we have more restaurants per capita than New York City.
And so. I've heard that, yes. Well, how did you get involved with Annie Wong?
Annie Wong, that was a great story. My wife, Tara, and I were touring all over the country interviewing chefs, and I wanted to open this noodle shop. And a friend of ours said, you know, you've been out for months looking for these chefs all over the country. He said, I know this lady who cooks really good noodles. And I said, well, I'd love to meet her. And so he takes us over to Annie Wong's restaurant, Thai Taste, and she cooks these 10 bowls of beautiful, colorful noodles from Vietnam, Korea, China, and Thailand. And I asked her, I said, Annie, would you like to work with me and let's go open this restaurant? And she said, yes, but I want you to take care of me. And I'm like, well, what do you mean take care of me? And she said, I'm old. And I don't have anyone to take care of me but one person.
Now, she was not at the time in business for herself.
She was working in restaurants. She had one little restaurant, but she always liked to open new things. She was an entrepreneur also. And so Annie just, she became my kind of adopted grandmother. And we opened restaurants together and wrote a cookbook, Complete Idiot's Guide to Asian Cooking.
That's what I was asking you. Is that also available on Amazon?
Absolutely. It's still
and
available.
The Complete, and read, say what that
the
again.
Complete Idiot's Guide to Asian Cooking.
I see it right here. Complete Idiot's Guide to Asian Cooking. That's co-authored with Annie Wong. And you opened that restaurant back in 1998.
Eight.
So when did you come back to Dallas?
I came back to Dallas in late 89.
So you were away for a while then.
I was, and we partnered with a young guy down in Deep Ellum named Jeff Swaney, who had started Club Clearview, basically breaking into old warehouses and throwing parties. And when he found out I was coming back and wanted to open a restaurant, he said, why don't you take half of Clearview and build your restaurant and the other half of it, and you and I will just be partners. And we had a great partnership until 1995.
And that opened when? Originally.
1985.
1985. Okay. Yeah. So for about 10 years.
Yeah. So Deep Ellum was the relaunch of Deep Ellum was mid-80s.
Mm-hmm.
And so from in early 85 through about 88, there was Club Clearview, the Profit Bar, and Theater Gallery. Those were the three early nightclubs down there by Jeff Swaney, Russell Hobbs, and Jeff Lyles.
But also seems like you have the insight to understand what is going to be the next big thing.
Well, I try to think I have a crystal ball, but I really take in facts by what I see going on around the country and in my community, and then I try to build on that. So if I see that there's an influx, like today, of Hispanics coming, I also might think, well, maybe Tex-Mex isn't what these people eat, so what are they eating? So I dig into that and then try to find a way to sort of gourmet it and bring it to the general public.
So it's not magic. You're not a psychic. You do some research to understand that first, too.
Yeah, it's internal. It's mostly internal in my head, but no, I don't think it's magic.
Well, we're going to come back after the break and speak more with Jeffrey Yarbrough. He is the CEO of Big Inc. He's also in the hospitality industry and real estate. But if you were listening, he talked about a lot of things that he has succeeded at, a lot of jobs he's had, but it wasn't all roses for Jeffrey. We're going to talk about some of the setbacks he has. My name is Steve Klein. Again, we're speaking with Jeffrey Yarbrough, and you can check his website out at Big Inc. PR. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Imagine being 6 years old and confined to a wheelchair. Imagine being 50 years old with a medical condition that can't be fixed with medication. Now, imagine the same individuals enjoying a special place to ride a horse, go for a swim, or fly down a zip line. No barriers. No one stares at your disability. The no's turn into yeses. Since 1947, Camp Summit has offered a unique program which offers campers a wide variety of traditional camp activities at a facility that allows even a person in a wheelchair to ride a horse or go down a zip line. Your financial gifts help bring the camp experience to those special individuals. Help turn the no's into yeses by donating whatever you can to Camp Summit through a link on the Camp Summit website. Visit campsummittx.org. That's campsummittx.org for more information. Or call 972-484-8900. That's 972-484-8900.
Today might be the day I drop out of school. Today could be the last day I try. My parents alone can't stop me. My friends can't even stop me. But you might be able to.
With United Way, you could tutor me, be my mentor, or volunteer to just read with me. If someone had helped me earlier, I might not be struggling. And studies prove that kids who read well by third grade are more likely to graduate. There are tons of ways people like you can help kids like me stay in school. And United Way is calling for you to be one of them. Because it takes 12 years to create a graduate. It takes about the same time to create a dropout. And the difference between me becoming one or the other could be you. Make me a success. Not a statistic.
Take the pledge to volunteer now at unitedway.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
I'm Jill Kumnock, CEO of the Ronald McDonald House of Dallas, which is the house that love built.
Your support helps provide a home away from home for the families of seriously ill or injured children who come to Dallas area hospitals for medical treatment. Your gift, regardless of the amount, supports RMHD families so that they can focus on what really matters, their child's healing. That's why at Ronald McDonald House we say, there is strength in numbers and it starts with you. For more information, visit rmhdallas.org.
We have Lars Staberg, General Manager of Lowry's, the Prime Rib, with us. Lars, what's new at Lowry's?
Steve, we want to invite your listeners to the new patio at Lowry's. Chef Matt has created a special patio menu, and we're serving craft beers, wine, and specialty cocktails.
What if I want a Prime Rib dinner?
Of course, the full dinner menu is always available. So join us outside for lunch, dinner, or happy hour from 4:30 to 6:30. Mention you heard us on Playmakers, and Chef Matt will send something special to your party.
Sounds great, Lars. See you on the patio at Lowry's, the Prime Rib.
We're back with the Playmakers Talk Show for business owners and self-employed professionals. Once again, here's Steve Klein.
And welcome back. This is Playmakers Talk Show, and we are speaking with a playmaker. Playmakers are somebody makes things happen. This is Jeffrey Yarbrough. He's a CEO of Big Inc. PR and Marketing. And we were talking about some of the successes in the restaurant business that Jeffrey has had, but it all wasn't a bed of roses. If I recall from looking at the information you sent me, you had 7 garage sales to have enough money to eat. So right. That's not an experience you probably want to dwell on, but tell us what happened in that part of your life.
Well, sure. I'll sort of go back and set the stage a little bit. We had sold our nightclubs down in Deep Ellum, and after seeing the rise and fall of markets going back and forth, I knew that I didn't want to ride that ride again. So I'd gone to my wife and said, look, I think we need to get out, and this is not a business I want to stay in. I don't want to ride this train anymore. So we sold our nightclubs, and we were just focused on the restaurants, Liberty Noodles, and decided that we'd grown them to 3 stores. So I had one in Houston. Unbeknownst to me, there was a light rail coming downtown Houston, and it was going right in front of my restaurant. And we'd been open a matter of months. So the streets were decimated. You know, customers couldn't even walk on the sidewalks because the sidewalks were, you know, now plywood. And we just decided that we were going to tough it out. And we kept putting more money in it and more money in it. And I would see the train getting closer and closer to being finished. And about 14 months into it, I had liquidated my real estate assets. I'd liquidated personal assets. I had sold my motorcycle, my boat. It was all gone because my big pride of having to keep this thing open was staring me right in the eyes.
Well, to a large degree, that's also like a child when you begin a business like that and you don't want to get rid of it.
I didn't want to let go. And if I would have cut loose and cut my losses the first 90 days, I would have, you know, saved millions of dollars.
We also talk about the fact this is one of the best times in your life too, as far as spending time with your family. It gave you a new perspective of what to do.
Well, about the time I have triplets. So I have 13-year-old triplets.
And that's probably a story right there.
Yeah, we can do another show on that. I found that going broke wasn't necessarily the worst thing to happen to me in life. I found out that people can't eat you. Bill collectors are not going to come and harm you. They will beat you up emotionally, but nothing's going to happen. The kids were tiny. They were 2 and 3 at that time through this period that we're discussing, and doing things like going outside and playing in the rain. We didn't have any money to take them anywhere, but it was raining, so let's go outside and play. My kids aren't afraid of the rain today. Camping. They love camping and eating, you know, rice and beans. And my wife once said, you know, you're complaining about the food, so I switched up and I'm going to cook beans and rice. So
how old are they now?
They're 13.
So they've probably had some great life experiences going through all that.
They have, and they even Dave Ramsey is sort of one of our mentors on following some of his financial strategies, which is very old school. If you know, no debt, and that helped us a lot.
not having debt, because I went through something similar myself, I thought that once that debt was paid off, I was going to go crazy and spend all the money. But what's interesting is you become extremely conservative with your thinking and your spending.
Right. We are still cash-only buyers, so no credit cards.
It's amazing how that works. Well, you have been in the restaurant business. You've been, as you say, a serial entrepreneur. You've started Big Inc. PR and marketing. What's next? Where are you going from here?
Well, our real estate side of our business is equal to our PR side. So we also do commercial real estate for the hospitality industry, focusing on independent unit guys to maybe 10 units, on helping them find new sites or helping developers work on putting the right people in their sites. I think next for the PR is we're opening a new office in Austin, and then we're hopefully within the next 24 months we'll be looking at New York City.
You also mentioned in your bio that you want to open more restaurants, which is interesting. I guess that gets in your blood and you can't stay away from it.
It is.
What kind of
concepts? So my agreement with my wife is that when the kids are gone, I can do something else. So I just love, even when I work with my clients, I love being in the room and on the floor because I get energy from people. So when I've had a rough day, I don't want to go and read a book and soak in a tub. I want to go to a trade show or a bar or a restaurant. I mean, that's where I get energized.
It probably helps your clients tremendously, though, in the hospitality industry, when you can go out there and rub elbows with them and actually get involved.
Oh, I mean, I'll find myself at the hostess stand greeting people and forget that it, and people will walk up and say, hey, is this your new place? It's like, oh, no, it's not mine. It's his.
But in your head, you become a part of your clients.
Oh, I absolutely
which has got to help
feel
your business.
That we're part of their DNA. So, and I think that's important. We dig into every part of that hospitality owner's business. If he's having a bad day with the chef, we can talk about that. If the vent hood blows up, we can talk about that. It's real life experiences that we have, which is what makes us different, especially in that PR slot, because we are operators. And most of the gals and guys in my operation have also been in hospitality.
You've walked in their shoes. You've been there.
Many times.
Which is interesting here in Dallas, as you said, there's more restaurants per capita than New York City. This is a very, very competitive market for the restaurant industry. And doing what you're doing for your clients sets them apart because it's more than just great food. It's everything else that goes along with that,
well,
and great service.
We tell people all the time that if they're not talking about themselves, then no one else is going to because people are busy. And there's so much noise out there that you have to stand up and shout.
Talk about yourself and shout. But what was interesting in your bio, you also, under what's next, you want to start farming in Ellis County. Well, this sounds like it's totally divergent from everything else you've done.
In mid-May, my wife called the office one day and said, will you go look at a farm with me? And I said, no.
This is out of the blue.
Out of the blue. We were living in Lake Highlands, which I love that community. The neighbors in Lake Highlands are fantastic. School was great. Richardson Schools, our kids were doing really well in it. And she said, well, just ride out there and look at it. So I got in the car, 5 o'clock traffic, and in 30 minutes, I was standing in the middle of a pasture in Ellis County. And I just looked there and I said, Tara, I can do this. I think I can do it.
If you have that farm, what will you grow? What will you raise? What will it do for you?
Today, we have cattle, we have chickens, we have gardens, we have 2 cats, 3 dogs, a horse, so it's already active. She's the farmer. People say I'm the gentleman's farmer, but my wife is really the farmer. And that's what we're doing. We're doing local. If a chef needs something, we'll grow it for him. If he's looking for grass-fed beef, we've got it. We harvested chickens this week.
So you've been an entrepreneur. You've owned restaurants. You've worked in restaurants. You're a PR firm for restaurants. You grow the food. You raise the cattle for the restaurant. You have the real estate for the restaurant. I can't imagine what else there is that you're not doing within the restaurant industry. You're doing everything for them.
I'm trying not to cook it.
But I'm sure with your background, you've done some cooking. And
you do
know how to cook.
Sure.
Well, did going back to Annie, did she teach you much in terms of cooking?
Annie did not want me to be in the kitchen, and she also didn't want me to speak Thai because she felt that the Thai ladies would not learn English if I learned Thai, which that was something I really missed. I really wanted to speak Thai, but I don't. And she she had a great palate. I also have a really strong palate. And together we could break down recipes and flavor profiles, and we were a magic team together.
It's interesting you mentioned Thai. I had a partner as I was doing some training a while back that was in Thailand with the Peace Corps and learned to speak fluent Thai. We would go to Thai restaurants, and this is a Caucasian male speaking fluent Thai to the waitresses. And it was amazing what we got free because they were so amazed at him speaking Thai.
A very loving, loving culture.
And the food is absolutely amazing.
If you like spice and flavor, high, strong flavors, Thai food is the way to do it. I think I'm going to go down to Naga Thai and get some today. They're your neighbors right down the street.
There you go. One last thing before we break. You're a playmaker. Playmakers make things happen. What would you suggest for somebody that wants to walk in your shoes and wants to be an entrepreneur? What suggestions would you give them?
Well, I think one thing I want to say is make sure you have a really strong team, and also make sure that you are firm in your beliefs. Let your no's be no's, your yes be yes's, and don't waver. Just dig in and be you.
Very good suggestions coming from Jeffrey Yarbrough, the president and CEO of Big Inc. PR and Marketing. Thank you, Jeffrey, for being here.
Thank you.
BigIncPR.com is the website. We also had Michael Elentek. Michael is the CEO of the Legacy Senior Communities. Stay with us next week. We'll be back. Go to the PlaymakersTalkShow.com to get all the information about our current guests on past guests. You can also go to the show archive and listen to any of the shows we've had over the last few months. Just scroll down and you'll see everybody there. My name is Steve Klein. This is Playmakers Talk Show. Stay with us next week. We'll have more great playmakers. See you then.
Their names are Adrian and Anna, Cameron and Colin, Jacob and Logan, Margaret and Olivia, ages 4 to 12. They are part of a very small exclusive club that neither they nor their families want to belong. They have all been diagnosed with some form of pediatric cancer. In fact, every year, right here in Dallas-Fort Worth, hundreds of families hear the dreaded words, "Your child has cancer," which is why Wipe Out Kids Cancer was formed over 30 years ago. Our mission is simple: to work relentlessly for the day when all children are living cancer-free. You can help by visiting WOKC.org. We are a local organization helping families cope and supporting researchers to find cures. Learn more at WOKC.org. Help us help them.
KLIF News and Information in the Morning
with Dave Williams and Amy Shadra.
The USS George Washington remains off the coast of the Philippines supporting typhoon relief efforts there. We'll talk with a Navy sailor from Dallas who is on that ship Monday morning. We'll also continue our special series JFK 50 as we move closer to the 50th anniversary of that fateful day. Plus, Bill gets you to work on time and Brad updates us on the weather.
News and Information in the Morning, 6 till 9.
News and Information, 570 AM, 96.3 FM, HD2.
KLIF.
Let's get down to it. Do you have an addiction? Any kind? Drinking too much? Drugs? Sex? Whatever it is, there is a way out. A place and people who have been where you are and know they can help. It's Rob Kelly Recovery Group. Whether you or someone close to you needs help, be it an intervention, a sober coach, or a travel coach, the Rob Kelly Recovery Group is there for you. Whether it's long-term, short-term, or hit it full-on with detox, the Rob Kelly Recovery Group is there for all of your addiction recovery needs. Listen to their show every Saturday night from 11 to midnight. Get a clue as to where to start, or just listen to other people with your same addiction. Maybe that's your first step. Feel free to call the Rob Kelly Recovery Group at 214-790-8000 or go online to robkelly.com. That's robkelly.com or call 214-790-8000. Addiction recovery is all they do. Call or go online now.
KLIF.
News and Information, 570 AM.
96.3.